Let's see. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And here's the message. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We began a series of messages a while back, Sunday morning, a week ago, entitled, How Can We Know the Way? We looked, first of all, at the salvation in the way. The Bible said in a couple different places in the book of Acts that they were of that way. I mean, they weren't speaking of that way in a positive sense. You know, that old Christian way. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Those people were behaving according to Scripture. They had had an experience where they had trusted Christ as their Savior. And what was on the inside was shining on the outside. And when what's on the inside goes shining on the outside, those that are walking in darkness don't understand it, and they really don't care for it. Amen. They don't care to be around it. But anyway, that way, in the way, salvation in the way. And then we looked on that Sunday night at sons and daughters in the way. And thank God there's a way that we can raise our children. What was it? The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And then Sunday morning we began looking at Genesis chapter number 24 and thinking along the lines of a servant in the way. And the text out of Genesis chapter 24, actually this is where the entire message was birthed in my heart. And I began to look at that little phrase, the way, in the Bible. But the text was, let's see if I can find it here. The text was verse 27, and where Abraham's servant, he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And he said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. This really just something that come to my mind when I read that verse of Scripture. But you know, there in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were in the way. And then when they got out of the way, they went to hide. And you remember that, trying to hide their body, trying to hide from God. And they weren't in the way. They got out of the way. So what a privilege it is to be in the way of a servant. And let's pray, and then we'll recap just very little bit and then get on with the message tonight. Father, thank you tonight for your people that are gathered in your house. And it is my prayer tonight, Lord, that, Lord, the spirit of the study, as we've studied this chapter, that, Lord, some of that spirit could be carried to the pulpit, be a blessing to our people. God, how you've blessed my heart. As I've looked at this scripture over and over and over again, Lord, what a joy it's been to examine this servant, Eliezer, of Abraham. God, he was on an important mission. Lord, it'd be a happy day in our life if we'd realize, Lord, how important the mission is that you have for us as the children of God. Lord, you didn't leave us here to do nothing. We're here to honor you, to glorify you, to point others to you. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us to be a servant like Eliezer was. Help us to glean from this chapter truths that would, Lord, convict our heart and convince us, our Father, in our lives, Lord, that being in the way, the Lord will lead us. Lord, that's the best way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We looked on Sunday, and I'm just recapping just very little bit, but being in the way of a servant involves a promise. Being in the way of a servant involves a purpose. And then I believe we, I guess it was Sunday night, being in the way of a servant involves provision, and it involves prayer, and then being in the way of a servant involves providence. When Abraham's servant was praying, while he was still speaking, here come Rebecca. Boy, I tell you what, God don't always answer prayer like that. Boy, isn't it a blessing when he does. Amen. But God does answer prayer. The servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." So we're going to look now at the sixth thing in the message. And we're going to look at being in the way of a servant involves perseverance. And what we're doing now is really pointing out something that I've never seen before in my life. Let's read here a little bit in the Bible. The Bible said in verse 17 again of chapter 24, "The servant ran to meet her, and he said, 'Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher.'" You remember the prayer. This is what he was going to do. This was his plan. Somebody said one time, you ought to plan your work, then you ought to work your plan. I like that. Amen. That's a good saying, I guess, for ministry. Plan the work, and then work the plan. Amen. I know Brother Steve's been doing that in Sunday school. And Brother John, they've got a plan, and they're planning the work, and then they get in the class and work the plan. And that's good. It's been a blessing. Now, he said here, the servant ran to meet her. He said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Verse 18, she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Now, she had the pitcher up on her shoulder. That was normally in that custom, the way that she would carry that. And sometimes they would have a rod across her back and have a pitcher hanging on both sides. Sometimes they would put it on their head. They would balance it up there on their head. But she let down the pitcher and she gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." What do you think old Eliezer's thinking right now? Amen. God has answered his prayer. It's kind of like, in a sense, putting out a fleece before the Lord. Some will be critical of that. And I think some will say, well, that's not faith. Well, Gideon, if I'm not mistaken, is included in Hebrews chapter number 11. Say amen. He's the one that prayed, you know, "Lord, let the ground be dry, and I may get this in the wrong order, let the fleece be wet." And then he prayed, "Let the fleece be wet, and let the ground be dry." In other words, the dew was falling from heaven, and it was going to take an act of God for have a dry spot and a wet spot all around it, or a wet spot and a dry spot all around it. And God answered his prayer. Let him know, "Listen, I know you're poor. I know your background, but I'm going to use you." Amen. And here, Eliezer puts this prayer out before the Lord. And I'm going to get to something here. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Now, you just read that and you just go away from it or go on through it. It doesn't seem like a whole lot. But this is just what I've been able to gather in the study. Those pots in those days averaged between 2 and 3 gallons. So for the sake of math, we're going to say that that pot holds 2.5 gallons of water. Those camels, how many of them are there? Somebody tell me. You've read it. How many? 10. 10 camels, okay. Now, I've studied, and on average now, a camel, when he comes in off the desert, the trip like Eliezer had made, will drink 25 gallons of water. One camel will. Okay? The math is pretty simple now. You take 10 times 25, that equals 250 gallons of water. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what being in the way of a servant, what kind of persistence are you talking about?" I'm talking about a woman that was willing. She wasn't asked to do it. She volunteered to do it. And I don't know how far the well was. I don't know how deep the well was. And it really doesn't matter to me. If the well was over there where the organ is, she made 100 trips, Brother Brian, to the well.
and watered those 10 camels. Now, when you just read that on the surface, it doesn't seem like a whole lot. But here's what God gave me that just blessed my heart. The Bible said, Eliezer said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Let me tell you what God showed me. Being in the way will more times than not lead you to something else that's in the way. How many's noticed that along the way? Amen. A servant's heart, when there's somebody that's willing, somebody that's surrendered. I tell you, I think of it often because of the cross, our paths have crossed. If it weren't for Calvary, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that I would have never met in my lifetime. And there, I talked to a man today that I served with in prison. Not time, preaching. Amen, in prison. Brother Donnie Moore. And he was telling me about a message that I preached at Brushy Mountain. And he said, Preacher, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. He said, Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to tell you, he's a servant of the Lord. He's got to where he can't pastor anymore. He's not doing mission work anymore. He's got a lot of health issues. He's still preaching along. He said, I'd love to come up and preach for you sometime. And I said, well, if you could preach a lick, I'd have you come. No, I'm just kidding. And Brother Donnie's a great preacher, a great servant of the Lord. And I've met many, many, many of God's choice men and women because of the service of the Lord. And I think that's a blessing. Being a servant will lead you to other servants. It's not uncommon for that camel coming in to drink 25 gallons of water. Do you understand? Listen, how many knows what a gallon of water weighs? How much? That's exactly right. I'm surprised that many people know that. But that, a gallon of water weighs 8 pounds. So if that's the case, and she goes and draws 250 gallons. Is that right? 10 camels, 25. Do you understand that is a ton? That's 2,000 pounds. Did I get the math right, Missy? All right. You're just looking at me with a strange face like I left out a comma or something. Amen. But anyway, that's a ton. 2,000 pounds of water. I tell you what, that blesses my heart. I believe that Eliezer is standing there thinking, oh, Lord, you've nailed this down tight. Amen. Here's a woman that said, drink, and I'll get you camels, something to drink as well. What a blessing. Being in the way of a servant it involves perseverance. Number 7, let's go on down in the message. The Bible said here, and the man wondering at her. Now, that statement right there, Brother Brown, reminds me of the book of Acts when they were trying to pray Peter out of prison. Remember that? Here's a man that's prayed. God's answered his prayer, and he's wondering at her. And the Bible said, he wondering at her, he held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his, you know what I believe, had made his journey prosperous or not. I read that. I think I'd have just went ahead and shouted on faith. Amen. But he's just taking his time. Eliezer's making sure. And by the way, when you're thinking about something called the will of God, you better make sure. You better take your time. Somebody said this one time, and boys, I say it again. Don't make decisions with a broken decision maker. A lot of people in life, beloved, they make decisions not considering the will of God when their heart is broken. Are you listening to me? And they're making a decision that, my friend, listen, it's life-changing with a broken decision maker. Eliezer's taking his time. Eliezer wants this thing nailed down. Eliezer wants to know. And the Bible said it came to pass as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of the half a shekel. By the way, let me just say that when you back up to verse number 21, he's taking his time because it all this time that it's taken her to carry that water back and forth, Eliezer's standing there observing that. He's got some time to meditate. He's got some time to think. He's thinking, Lord, Have you made my way prosperous? Is this, you say, preacher, what's the name? Being in the way of a servant involves prosperity. This is not the only verse. I'll give you another one. Look what the Bible said here. She had done, when the camels had done drinking, the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the son which she bare to Nahor. And watch this. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And so she's letting Eliezer know, we can take care of you. We can take care of the camels. Everything will be all right. Yes, you can come down to our house. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. See, not only has he met Rebekah in the field now, but he's fixing to go to the house. Now he knows who the dad is. Now he knows who the brother is. And now he knows he's in the right place at the right time, speaking to the right woman, and that the will of God is going to be carried out. The damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass when she saw when he saw the earrings, the bracelets upon his sister's hand, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there were set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told of my errand. And he said, speak on. Now, being in the way of a servant involves prosperity. He wanted to know whether his journey was prosperous or not. And God is letting him know here at Rebekah's house, at the house of her mother and her father, that God is going to prosper him. And so now he come down to verse 33, and he told him, I'm not going to eat. I've got something more important to do than eat. Think about that for just a minute. I've got something on my mind, on my heart, that's more important than food, that's more important than what this body wants, and that is God's will. Now, the eighth thing in the message, I titled it like this, being in the way of a servant involves being plain spoken. Eliezer is going to speak in a manner that you won't have to have it interpreted. In other words, he's going to get to the issue. And I believe that's something that's missing today. I think so many people talk in circles. Amen? I think there's a lot of preaching goes on like that today. It goes over people's heads. I'll never forget what a preacher told me years ago. He said, God didn't say anything about feeding giraffes. He said, feed my sheep. He said, feed my lambs. He said, there's something I found out about sheep and lambs. He said, they eat close to the ground. He looked at me and he said, preacher, he said, put the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get them. I don't think there's anything much, beloved, to be bragged on if people have to go away scratching their head and saying, what did he say? I guarantee you this, down here at this house, my friend, when Eliezer opens his mouth, they're not going to go away scratching their head saying, what's he talking about? They're going to know exactly what he's talking about. He's being plain spoken. By the way, I believe that's where a lot of things like this come from. People say, well, you'll go to hell for lying. Have you ever heard that? Somebody say something like, well, if a person takes their life, they're in hell because God can't forgive that. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The gospel has not been spoken plainly. Amen. All kinds of things. Where it's not the Bible being quoted, it's not the gospel being given out, people are not being plain spoken. I believe a preacher ought to stop once a month and just say, you must be born again because you must be born again. Amen. Stop every once in a while and say there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Why, preacher? Because there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Stop every once in a while and say there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from our sin. Brother Ralph, you sing them old songs, I never get tired of them. Because the truth never gets old. His mercy, His faithfulness is new every morning, the Word of God said. Here's the man that's going to be plain spoken. Let's look into it. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. Wow. That speaks to my heart. I don't know how many times I've introduced myself and said, I'm Brother Vinoy or I'm Rick Vinoy. He said, I am Abraham. Wonder what kind of jaw dropping might go on, Brother Steve, if we walked up to somebody and said, I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'm here today because I'm a servant of the Lord. I remember the movie Sheffy. How many seen that movie, Sheffy? Oh, he got to be famous. He got to be really recognized. And somebody ran up to him. I believe a lady ran up to him and said, why, you're Brother Sheffy. He said, I'm a servant of the Lord. Well, I like that. Eliezer said, I'm Abraham's servant. Watch this. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. He has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. In other words, Abraham's given it all to Isaac. Right? Watch this. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. He's to go back to the Ur of the Chaldees, which was in Mesopotamia. And that's what he had promised Abraham he would do. I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. In other words, we would say in East Tennessee, what if she's not willing? What if she's not willing, Abraham, to follow me? And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk. Wait a minute. I just caught that. Looks like Abraham was in the way too, don't it? The servant's the one that said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. But you remember on Sunday when we were talking about prayer, who it was that initiated it? Watch this now. He will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. He said, then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I come this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking, by the way, how many understands we're just rereading what was written before in Genesis chapter 24? You say, preacher, I don't understand. A better way to put that would be this. We're rehearsing what had already took place in Genesis chapter 24. Let me just stop and say this. It'll do your heart good every once in a while to get in front of somebody that needs to know the Lord and rehearse what the Lord has done for you and what the Lord means to you. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It will warm your heart. He's plain spoken. He's just telling them, watch now, I'm going to get to, the speech is going to get plainer along the way. I pray thee a little water to drink. And she said, both drink thou. I'll also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. Verse 45. Before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste, let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink. I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank. And she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and I said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worship the Lord, and bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me, watch this now, I being in the way. You remember that? The Lord led me. Here the word of God said, he had led me in the right way. Can I just stop and say this tonight? That's the way he always leads. If God's leading, honey, you can mark it down. It will always be in the right way. You say, preacher, how can you tell if it's in the right way or not? It'll line up with the Bible. You say, preacher, it's not right for you to say that a homosexuality's wrong. I didn't. God did. I'm just agreeing with God. You say, preacher, it's not right for you to say that people shouldn't shack up. And if they're not married, they shouldn't live together. I didn't say it. God did. You say, preacher, you shouldn't talk about killing the babies. Listen, read Psalm 139. God's got his eye on them. Amen. I'm just saying, beloved, the right way will always... You say, well, somebody, by the way, let me just say this to you. I believe with all my heart, we ought to pray for people that's not walking in the right way. But I do believe, listen, that to pretend like they're walking in the right way when it's the wrong way is not going to help anybody. And I do believe there's nothing wrong with saying it's the wrong way if it don't line up with the Bible. Amen. The Bible said here, I bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, here's where he gets really plain spoken. Watch this. I love it. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. He's not eating yet. There's something more important than eating. Eliezer said, listen, if you're going to deal kindly with my master, tell me. But watch this. If not, tell me. Boy, that kind of speech in our generation would not be accepted in most places. If you're going to do what I know is the will of God for you to do, God's already shown me, then tell me. And if you're not going to do it, tell me. Doesn't sound like fence straddling to me, does it to you? Eliezer's just saying, would y'all let me know which side of the fence you're on? Are you on God's side? Sounds like Elijah up there on the hill, up there with those prophets of Baal. And he said, who's on the Lord's side? That wasn't Elijah, that was Moses, wasn't it? Not on the hill. Who said that? I believe that was Moses, wasn't it? Yeah, that was when Korah and that bunch, I believe, rebelled. I got my stories mixed up. I'm in the right book. I just got my stories mixed up. Amen. Who's on the Lord's side? Elijah said up there, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. It was kind of an ultimatum of plain speech as well. Watch this now. Then Laban. Well, I didn't finish verse 49. That I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Eliezer's letting them know the ball is in your court. I know which way God has bounced the ball. I've brought the ball to your house. It's time for you to bounce it now. It's in your court. You got to tell me what you're going to do concerning Rebekah. I love it. Then Laban, look at verse 50. That's the brother, and Bethuel, that's the dad, answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. You know what he said in so many words? Both of them. God said it. This thing has proceeded from God. And who are we to argue with God? Plain speech will lay it out there, won't it? Watch this now. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Watch this now. I'm going to show you something here. I'm talking about being in the way of a servant involves being plain spoken. And Rebekah's before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. Wouldn't it be good if everybody would get on the page just to say, as the Lord hath spoken? Whatever he said, we're going to do. That's what Mary told him there at the well of Canaan, Galilee, at the marriage of Cana. Said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Watch what the Bible said. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, gave them to Rebekah, and he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Let me tell you something right now. This man, he had a rich master, but he had a generous heart. He was celebrating. Wouldn't that change the way that people look at tithes and offerings? Brother Rose, if they thought when I lay that in there and I give that to the Lord, I'm just giving him what's his, I'm celebrating. It's a witness. The Bible said that he liveth. He got up the third day. He's giving and he's celebrating that God has answered his prayer and led him along the way. Watch this. They did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. They rose up in the morning and said, he said, send me away to my master. Now watch this. This is good. Verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. Think about this for just a minute. When God gets on the scene, God's working the way he's working in this chapter, who else is going to show up? In the next verse, the ninth thing that I'm going to give you, the message, being in the way of a servant, being a servant in the way, it also involves persistence. You say, preacher, what do you mean? In verse 56, here's what Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, said unto them, unto the mother, unto the brother, said, hinder me not. That sounds like, who was it, Brother Brian, on the wall? Nehemiah, up on the wall, I believe in chapter number 6, down there in the plain of Ono. They said, come down. He said, I cannot come down. And here, Abraham's servant said, listen, I'm not talking about 10 days. I'm talking about right now. This train's going to the house. Plain spoken. persistent. He said, hinder me not. By the way, when God gets to working in the arrangements, honestly, I just want to stop and say this right here. When God did that in my heart that Tuesday night right out there in the parking lot, gave me the green light to come here, I'm glad I didn't pray about it 10 days. I might have changed my mind. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, if you're not careful, God's in the arrangement. God's working, and you'll start crawfishing. The will of God sometimes. See, this brother now, he slept on it. Mother has slept on it and thought, oh my goodness, he wants to take Rebecca in the morning. Well, let's see if we can't just get him to give us 10 days. That's not unreasonable. But the servant, it sounds kind of like Jesus when Jesus said, say not, there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes, for the fields are white already, the harvest. In other words, right now, the Bible said, he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire in her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, they're kind of passing the buck. Do you see this right here? The agreement's already been made. Everybody's already said, God's in this. It's of the Lord. And now they're going to pass the buck on to Rebekah. And in verse number 58, they called Rebekah. They said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? I like it. Glory to God. Woo! Rebecca might not have slept while everybody else was sleeping. She's thinking about these jewels. She's thinking about what she's heard about her master. She's thinking about, my friend, what dad has already given him. And she's thinking about, have got me a man. Amen. And she didn't hesitate. She wouldn't be hindered. She said 3 simple words. I will go. I like that. Don't you? You know what God's looking for? He's looking for some people that'll say, I will go. You say, preacher, who's she going with? Well, glory. Lord, just give me this. She's going with the servant. Who's the servant a type of? The Holy Spirit. She's going with the servant. But where's the servant going to lead her? Help me. The servant's going to lead her to Isaac. The servant's going to lead her to the bridegroom. And honey, I don't believe it's going to be long. You and I that are in the way, the Lord is leading us. He's going to lead us right out of this world into the presence of the bridegroom. What a blessing that's going to be. What a celebration that's going to be. Amen. Being in the way of a servant. Number 10. We're getting close to 11, aren't we? Could you imagine if I had tried to preach all this Sunday morning? No, you can't imagine. By the way, y'all would have probably been the only one still vertical. Amen. Being in the way of a servant, number 10, we'll start with verse 60, involves propagation. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means there's going to be more servants. It means there's going to be more blessings. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 60. And they blessed Rebekah, and they said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother. Watch this now. They didn't know any better way to say it. Of thousands of millions. God had told Abraham that his seed would be like the stars, would be like the sand by the seashore. Glory to God. They didn't know what God had told Abraham, but they were agreeing with what God had told Abraham. They couldn't put a number on it, Brother Steve, so they just said thousands of millions. That might be how much our debt is in America right now. I don't know. I know it's a whole bunch. I know it's more than we'll ever get paid. Here the Bible said, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahoroi. That means the well of a living one, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. By the way, how many believes? I believe that Isaac was aware of the errand that the servant had been sent on. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look here. He went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Honey, I believe ever since the camels left, glory to God, Isaac was looking for him to come back. Now listen, watch what the Bible said here. Now Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. He lifted up his eyes and he saw, behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Honey, she didn't want to be up here while he was down here. She wanted to be right down there where he was. And the Bible said, for she had said unto the servant, this had already taken place, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. In other words, Rebekah already knows when she lights down off the ass, that's him. That's him. What a blessing. The Bible said, therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. I don't know about you tonight, but aren't you glad? Wait a minute now. Brother Brian, the Jews gave us our Bible. I know God did, but you understand, humanly speaking, do you understand that without one servant being in the way, think about that for just a minute. You say, preacher, what difference could one servant make? How about thousands of millions? I can't remember the story verbatim. Some of you helped me nod at me a little bit, but I think D.L. Moody, wasn't he led to the Lord? Wasn't he a shoe clerk? Is that what he was? Was he led to the Lord of a Sunday school teacher in the department store, so to speak? Think about that for just a minute. One Sunday school teacher in a department store led a man by the name of D.L. Moody. If I've got the story right, I didn't write that down, but I believe that's right. People are nodding their head that it's right. So if it's not right, blame it on them. One servant. One gospel witness. I wonder how many men, Brother Rose, that day have pointed to Jesus. Somebody pointed. He said, oh, what a mighty man of God. Somebody pointed him to Jesus. And back in those old days, let me tell you this, lots of times there were multitudes of people in the basement praying while the man of God was preaching. Let me get to the last thing. Are you ready? Being in the way of a servant involves praise. Bear with me for just a minute, okay? Look at verse number 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Brother Steve, do you Do you think that servant told Isaac that whole story without Isaac saying, glory? Without Rebecca saying, that's right. Without some of those damsels, brother Ralph, saying, you should have been there. Honey, I believe, listen, I'm just letting my mind go, my heart go. But God is showing me right here. Here he is, Brother Rose. This story's already been rehearsed twice. It's been told and rehearsed in this chapter. Now it's not going to be spelled out again. Let me go ahead and see how much of it is. Let's look at the couple verses right here. Then we'll close. And Isaac, no, it's not spelled out again. It's not spelled out again. I'll read that last verse in a minute. But he told it. He told the story, just like the Bible said, Brother Gary. Don't you believe? Now listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I can think of things like this, Sister Jennifer, Rebecca saying something like, I couldn't even sleep. I'm telling you, I'm so wired, I just couldn't believe what God had done in my life and given me to this man. I really believe that there was a lot of glory going on at that moment. I believe the servant had to pause every once in a while as he was telling it. Can you imagine? Listen, I'm not going to go back through it all, but could you imagine him saying, you know, I went down there and I prayed. And he told Isaac how he prayed. And before I even got done talking to God, I looked up and there was Rebecca. And do you want to know? She came over there and did exactly what I had asked God. Said, take some drink and I want to get you camels some water too. And I just stood there and he told him probably what he was meditating on, Brother Eddie, while he was waiting. I believe there was a lot of praise going on. I believe the servant, Brother Rose, is thrilled to death. I believe Rebecca is thrilled to death. I believe Isaac is thrilled to death. I know how thrilled I was when they opened them doors at Faith Baptist Church in Joppa, Maryland, and that beautiful woman come down that aisle and said, I do to the likes of me, and been saying I did ever since. What a blessing. Blessing. I believe there ought to be praise in our life. That old devil will come along and he'll jump up on your shoulder. He'll get in a car with you. He'll sit on the couch with you. He'll tell you, you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. He'll probably whisper every once in a while, Brother Larry, boy, if he loves you, why are you hurting the way you're hurting? Lord, just tell that old devil, shut up. I'm married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm a part of the bride of Christ. And devil, let me just tell you, you probably already know it. Ain't going to be long when we're leaving here. We're going to load up on them camels. Glory to God. And we're checking out of this old world. Check it in over there with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I believe being in the way of a servant, being in the way the Lord led me, I believe you just, well, let me just tell you like this. I got on the phone with Brother Donnie Moore today. He didn't even know I was pastoring. As far as he knew, I was still with Rock of Ages. He didn't know. I couldn't believe that. He's just on the other side of Knoxville. Would you all believe that while we were conversing on the telephone, that I was telling him, Brother Gary, about some of them first Wednesday night services. I was telling him about the scripture where the Lord put it. Would I tell something like that? Well, I did. You know what I was doing? I was praising the Lord. You know what he is doing? He is praising the Lord. By the way, Sister Jennifer, I think you're the one that told me. But you know that message you said stuck in your heart way back yonder? That's one stuck in his heart in prison, too. I just thought I'd tell you that. When my heart is overwhelmed, God's good all the time. Praise. Look here, the last verse. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Oh, by the way, I just about to forget somebody. What do you reckon Abraham's doing when all this is going on? I just happen to believe, Brother Steve, that somebody left the party. When that servant is telling Isaac everything that happened, I believe somebody left the party and went to where Abraham was. I said party. I mean, it was a prayer meeting. It was a praise meeting. You know what I'm talking about. I believe somebody left out and run told Abraham the servant's home, and he found a bride. Wonder what was going on in Abraham's heart. You know what I believe? I believe Abraham was praising the Lord too. Let me say this and I'm done. It's an illustration that I found. Brother John, I thought about you. Brother John refurbishes fiddles, I guess is how you would say it. Somebody asked Brother Craig Edwards one time, what's the difference between a fiddle and a violin? And he said, Saturday night and Sunday morning. That's what he said. The great violinist, Niccolo Paganini, he wheeled his marvelous violin to the city of Genoa on the condition that it must never be played. The wood of such an instrument, while used and handled, wears only slightly, but set aside, it begins to decay. Paganini's lovely violin has today become worm-eaten and useless, except as a relic. A Christian's unwillingness to serve may soon destroy his capacity for usefulness. This was written in a book called Marching Orders by J.K. Laney. I don't know about you. I'm reminded of a young preacher was preaching and he got in a real big way and he said, I'll tell you one thing, praise God. He said, I would rather wear out than rust out. That sounds real good. I don't think I would have ever thought about what this preacher told him, but he got done preaching. He sat down beside of an old preacher, and the old preacher leaned over and whispered to him. Here's what he said. He said, son, what you need to remember is, either way, you're out. Whether you wear out or whether you rust out, that goes with that lesson, don't it, Brother Brian, about, but not being overcharged. The devil don't care if we wear out or if we rust out. He just wants us out. He just don't want us serving the Lord. Would y'all pray for me? I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to just be in the way. And I'd like to live my life with the Lord leading me. And at the end of that way, when we meet the bridegroom, I believe everybody that has done that will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.